I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey! Happy Hump Day, everybody.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Great, Bill.
Fantastic. Luke Anderson filling in one more time while Souk is on his northeastern vacation up in Cape Cod.
Did you see the picture?
Of him riding the orca?
Yeah.
I did not.
He's riding a, it's not quite an orca, but close. He's in a pool of some sort.
Okay.
And he's got his captain's hat on.
Is this on Twitter?
Yeah. And he's riding on a floaty, and he's got a little wiener dog on the floaty with him.
Let me just go ahead and pull that right up, why don't I? And we'll take a look at that. So good.
I see nothing on his Twitter.
I think it's on John's.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
I don't know. I was tagged in it, so I saw it. I don't know how that works, but it's on there, and he's laying on his belly. He's got his little wiener. Like, it's like the wiener dog has a, it looks like the wiener dog has a captain of its float.
As it should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it? All right, let's see if we can find Big John on here. There's Big John. Well, there he is. Yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
Hanging on a floaty.
So there it is.
Proof
that he is indeed wearing his captain's hat in, I guess that's Cape Cod, but it's kind of hard to.
It's a swimming pool. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's probably there.
It's proof that he's not here.
And he is definitely not here. So he's out of town. He'll be out of town all week. He will miss the NBA draft. I think he did that on purpose. He hates the draft show.
Yeah. As much as you hate the NFL draft show?
No, I like the NFL draft.
It's day two that you hate.
Well, it's not that I hate it. It's just like, I don't know. Drafts are great up until the point. We'll go through this tomorrow.
Yes.
And everybody has this. I don't care how big of a draft, like, beatnik you are. There's a point in the draft when you're watching it that you go, okay. Somebody gets picked that you're like, what, who, what? And it's a team that you don't care about. And you just have this moment where it's like, okay, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
Happens every year. And I think Mike and I were predicting that it will happen to us on this show tomorrow around the 8th pick. Maybe we can get to 10, but typically it is around that time. Although usually it coincides with where the Blazers are, but they're not picking till 25.
Yeah.
So we'll be out before then. And so it's just drafts are cool. All that stuff. Love doing it. But at the same time, you know, just like anything else, moderation. Okay.
Yeah. See, I have a hard time with the mock drafts.
I mean, do you go NFL? Yeah. Mock drafts. Like, well, we'll get to that in a second, but do you go NFL the whole way? Like, you watch it all weekend?
No. God, no.
I mean,
the reason I suggested that you don't like it, I've actually filled in for the day two show more than once for you while you're out with Big Suit.
Not by design.
Okay.
No,
those are coincidental.
There are certain shows that I do try to miss, but I cannot announce those on the air or else I will give away my secrets.
Fair enough.
But if you've listened to us long enough, you know which shows that are not my favorite shows.
Yeah.
But you know, I never my vacation is not based around that stuff.
The NFL draft.
Just occasionally in the summer or whatever, you know, we're traveling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't get that much into drafts. I also don't, like, I'm not a big hot stove guy. Like, right now with the NBA,
I
know you do. But there's so much rumor and so much speculation on everything that's going to happen.
And it's you don't like that?
No, like yesterday, all the Mike Conley. Mike Conley could go to Utah. It's like, okay, we'll wait till tomorrow. And if he does, and then now he has.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it's all of this preemptive. It's like, this could, what if, what if this happens, then this happens, then this. It's like, okay, now we're 3 degrees separated from what actually your first what if. And that drives me bonkers.
Yeah, I've got Kyrie Irving to the Blazers. Is that
no, that's
how many?
Right.
How many seems right? How many removed is that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. How do you have him going there? You know what I mean? Like, but that's the funny part. It's like, you know, yeah. who's Utah going to give up? It's like,
but
wait,
you know,
wait a day.
I get what you're saying on yeah. that, but I would say I'm totally with you on mock drafts.
Yeah, because mock drafts are like, well, we can't account for trades, and it's like, well, then why even bother?
But they're fun to look at again for the first 5 to 10 picks, and then it's like, okay. But on your note there about sort of the hot stove.
Yeah.
I like the hot stove in all leagues.
Yeah.
Because and the NFL doesn't really have the speculative hot stove as much as the others. The NFL just has movement.
Yep.
Players move, free agency and the whole thing. And it all kind of happens, you know, like, excuse me, in succession after the Super Bowl. So they're a little bit different, but baseball and the NBA do have the speculative period where it's like, oh, this guy could go there, and these yeah. teams are in on this guy. And I mean, not that the NFL doesn't have that, but I think it has
yeah.
less.
Yeah.
But it creates, I don't know, it takes your mind to a place that's kind of fun. It's like the entertainment value of sports. I mean, in the end, it really is just the entertainment value. And it adds to it. I mean, just kind of thinking, oh, well, what if, like, the idea of Mike Conley to Utah, which did happen.
Yeah.
So he is now a Utah Jazz.
Well, now technically, player. Technically, the trade has been approved on both sides, but until what, July 6th?
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Or 5th or whatever.
But come on.
Well, I mean, even the Lakers trade, right? They have Anthony Davis, and they've traded away their entire roster. They have 3 guys left that are they actually expect to play for the Lakers. They're still trying to get rid of the other 3. There's 6 guys on the roster. From the team that the Lakers were last year, there will be 2 guys remaining if they have it their way, right? According to everything that you read today. But they may try to make it last a month because then the contracts change and the language change and you get more money on the cap or whatever. We had DeAndre Jordan in a Dallas Mavericks uniform, and then the entire Clippers team goes out to draw him back in. So even now, nothing is set in stone, but at least it's been agreed upon.
You're getting bogged down into the minutia.
Yeah. Well.
And this is very similar to going into the 6th round of the NBA draft. And this is on you, okay? So I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, okay, all that stuff, that'll work itself out.
Yeah.
The bottom line is Anthony Davis is going to the Lakers.
He is.
Okay, so that's interesting. And that creates, it's like, okay, so now it's kind of like the same concept that goes with sports bros playing fantasy sports. It's like you get to create teams. And so you start thinking, okay, well, even if Mike Conley goes to Utah, well, what does that do in the West? And then who could you know, what does that do to Donovan Mitchell? And what does that, you know, and then who's next in the West? And how does that change the pecking order? And so it's just the entertainment value of keeping you thinking about that kind of thing that I do like. I mean, I think it's fun. It's all speculative. You're right. It's kind of nauseating when we do too much of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, you got to admit because in the NBA, these players, these star players, even Mike Conley, who's not a superstar player, but he's an all-star, he's a good player. They can change the fate of a franchise so quickly. Like Lakers made one trade and all of a sudden we view them 180 degrees different. Right. So in the NBA, these, you know, one star can affect a lot. And so when these guys are on the move and you've got Kawhi Leonard possibly on the move and the Kevin Durant thing, it's just it's going to shake up the league quite a bit. And I think that leads your mind to start to wonder a little bit about what could happen.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you on that because there is an entertainment value. But again, I'd like to preach a little bit of patience. Because again,
patience.
Well, we could have talked
who
about
who has patience.
We
anymore?
Could have talked about Mike Conley to Utah yesterday because it was out there as a rumor. But actually, now we know what the trade pieces are, and you're going to get there
now,
eventually.
You are now looking through the lens of a sports talk host, and that is where I would agree with you that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat, as it were, for your show today or tomorrow or Friday. But you're right. Sometimes it can get a little too much of that. But not everybody. You got to remember, like most people, don't have their own shows, Luke. So they don't. So they just start thinking about this in kind of the sports whimsy of it all.
I got it.
You know, it's kind of fun. Like this is why Blazer fan. Like, okay, here's the most. This is nauseating. You know, it's nauseating.
Go ahead.
When Blazer fans, and this is true of any fan base anywhere, they don't have any idea of the Blazers cap situation.
Yep.
They don't have any idea of how the CBA works. They don't have any idea about anything business-wise when it comes to what the Blazers have in front of them this offseason, and yet they have all these ideas about what the Blazers should go do.
Yep.
You know, this is what I'm talking about. This, it's just a fan being a fan. There's nothing wrong with it. I hate it when guys shout down or media people shout down, well, you don't know what you're talking about because you don't understand the CBA. Hey, man, they're just being fans. They're just like, hey, well, what about this? Could the Blazers get Jimmy Butler? This is how fans think. And so I want to be careful about saying, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not saying
I'm
just saying, you don't know what you're talking about and you should just listen to what we say. No, just it's fun. That's part of the fun of sports, and that's where the hot stove stuff to me is pretty fun. Just as being not a talk show host, but just as being a fan.
Well, and I think maybe that's why this role as a talk show host fit me kind of well, because I don't know. For me, I'm not saying don't do it. I find it very amusing to watch others go through that mental exercise, because when you watch, Blazers fans are getting ready for the draft tomorrow, right? So I've got friends that are trying to figure out who's going to be. Not only do they not know
the business side
of things.
Are they pressing their jerseys? Are they making the reservations at their bar?
They're getting their Blazers sign ready, you know, whatever.
They better not draft him.
Yeah. But what they do is they go through this argument. Not only they try to become not only an expert on what the Blazers need to do to get to the next level, right? They know the piece. They also are college basketball experts, and they can tell you why each of these players that they didn't watch play all year will fit into the system. It's fascinating for me to watch other people go through that. It's just not something I personally enjoy and get caught up in, because I'm happy to admit I didn't watch that much college
basketball. Yeah, they got hot takes.
I didn't watch enough college basketball to know.
They got hot takes on this French player that no one's seen play, but somehow they've seen some grainy YouTube videos, and they're like,
somebody sent a VHS in the mail.
I think we've talked about this before, that what is behind this, like the mindset behind this. One of the things is feeling like you have unique information, feeling like you have done some sort of homework or discovery that nobody else, fan-wise, really has. People like to do that.
Yeah.
That's what it's human nature.
Well, I got caught into that, but for the benefit,
and it's cute.
The Syracuse National Championship, Carmelo Anthony, and the run to the championship.
Yeah. I was filling out my bracket. They beat Kansas.
They did. So when they won the championship, I filled out my bracket entirely based on one interview I saw with Jim Boeheim. You know what I mean? Like, I watched.
Yeah,
And I can't remember what it was, but it was on PTI. He sat and did 5 good minutes on PTI, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Syracuse. And I filled it out. And I was winning the bracket, and during the NCAA tournament is when I moved to Vegas when I was 21. So the first bet I made in Vegas was, I was like, well, I'm already winning the bracket with all my buddies at home. Let me go and put a bet before the Sweet 16 starts on Syracuse. And I won that bet based on one piece of information that was all just a coach being confident in an interview.
See, it's the fun of it, man.
Yeah.
And because that's the depth you're not going to go any deeper than that. Yeah. You got a life.
Yeah. Well, and
then you want to see if you're right.
And then you get validated with it. Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, oh, yeah, man, I'm a great sports guy. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and then the next 10 years, I got destroyed in the bracket. And I went, oh, maybe I'm not as smart as I thought I was.
Now, all that said, the Blazers should bundle Scal and a fourth-round pick for Blake Griffin.
Yeah. I think that's pretty obvious.
I think a fourth might be a little bit too high, though. Maybe like a sixth. Yeah.
Dude, an eighth-round pick.
We'll give you all our eights.
Yeah. For
and Scal. Now what? Now what? Detroit balls in your
ten
court.
10 straight years of eights.
Just watch.
You can have them.
Blake's gonna
Do
stay.
Do you think they know there isn't an eighth round?
Blake will be hurt, and Scal will turn into a superstar.
Yeah, Scal. Right? It's like, damn it! Why did we get rid of Scal?
The eighth round pick. Turns
they were
into,
fine, but this guy, but Scal, damn it,
turns into a superstar.
I love sports.
Sports are fantastic.
We were sportsing pretty hard there. So the point is, Souk is in Cape Cod, or at least he's at a pool that seems to be in Cape Cod, and he is...
And he's trying to muster a smile.
He's manning a life raft that has a wiener dog on it.
Yeah.
So that's... They kind of look like... Was it Skipper and Gilligan?
Yeah.
It kind of has a little Skipper Gilligan feel to it.
Sure. The dog's name may be Gilligan.
Yeah.
Let's just call him Gilligan.
He looks like Skipper. And he is trying to muster a smile. You're right. He doesn't often smile for...
And it doesn't look very genuine. It's like, no, yeah, he doesn't like to smile. I'll smile for your stupid...
Yeah, he's got resting bitch face. Yes. And there's nothing he can do about it. It's fascinating. Yeah. He does have it.
And he's aware of it.
He knows, yeah. And he just doesn't... He can't fix it, which is fascinating because he really does have it. Like, you will see him... If you catch him where nobody else is around and he's just like, I don't know, walking around a corner or something... Mm-hmm. It's not just resting bitch face. It's a scowl.
It is.
Like, it's like, I want to kill someone. And you're like, whoa, you okay? And he's like, yeah, why?
She's got the face of a murderer.
Yeah.
Satan's pretty cool.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so good sports time. Are fantastic most of the time, but we do have a story to get to when sports were taken a little bit too seriously over the weekend.
Oh, I have Corn Fairy news.
What is it?
Have you ever heard of Corn Fairy?
No.
I have Corn Fairy news today.
That's fantastic.
Okay.
I also have a new way that you can bet on not really NBA basketball.
I saw that story. I'm confused by that. We're going to need to go to Sports Mike on that.
I think we will.
Video game Mike.
But let's talk.
There's also great audio that we have for the show today.
Oh, good. Oh, I love audio. Sports audio is great.
When you sent it to me and I first watched it.
It's from me?
It's from you.
That sounds terrible.
It was. I could not stop laughing. It's really funny. Mm.
All right.
It was me doing a set.
Well, now we have actual Mike Connolly to Utah.
That's a good little show. Yeah, we do.
So let's talk about how that reshapes the West.
I love it.
Because it really does. So we'll start the show right there with Mike Connolly going to the city of Utah. We'll talk about that next on Primetime. This is 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Luke Anderson filling in while Big Suk is floating on a raft with a wiener dog in a pool in what we assume is Cape Cod.
Yeah, there's long-haired wieners.
Yeah. Yes, there are. It does look like a long-haired wiener.
It totally,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't like those as much as the little short-haired wieners.
I think I prefer the long-haired wieners.
Do you?
Yeah, if I had to take a pick.
Yeah, we used to have one.
The long-haired wiener.
Short-haired.
Oh, the short-haired. My grandma had one.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
She was a bitch.
They're aggressive little dogs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that dog. And she was attached to my wife. Like, nobody... She would hang out with other people, but only begrudgingly.
Yeah.
If my wife wasn't around. And then the only other thing I remember about her... That's not true. I remember a lot about her. But worth mentioning is you could sit on her. She would... You know, they burrow.
Oh, yeah.
So she would just burrow into, like, the couch cushion. You never know where she is. She'd, like, be under a blanket, and you'd sit down and... They'd be like, yep.
And then would she just hang out or would she be ready to get out of there?
She'd bite you and then lay around and snuggle.
All right. Just a quick chomp. Then
I tell you what, I ended up loving that dog.
The end.
No, I did.
I know, but is that the end of the story? I thought there was a little more to the thought.
I mean, I hated the dog at first.
Gotcha.
But I inherited it. So I mean, I had
it. Oh, it was her dog.
Her dog, yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't have a wiener dog. Come on, man.
I don't know.
Come on,
you
bro.
You said you're a rescue dog guy.
I am.
Hey, if a wiener dog needs saving.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah,
my wife loves wieners. She does.
Yeah.
Big fan.
All right. So Mike Connolly looks like he's headed to the
city.
And I
have a very small one. I like that drop, even though it totally incriminates me.
Of course. Mike Connolly's headed to the city of Utah.
By the way, I was
Utah.
Not talking about, you know. I have a very small one, meaning... Something else.
No, that ego. Was actually you talking about that.
No, it's not.
In that drop.
That is not true. Ladies, I can tell you definitively, I am average.
I have a very small one.
You will not be stunned either way.
So here are Mike Connolly's comments.
Abort! Abort!
Hey, we can keep going if you want to. You're the one driving.
No, you
want to
hear more?
Driving this little ship. So Mike Connolly's comment as he takes the new job in Utah, he says, what more can I say about my city? You guys made me the man I am today. Memphis is home always. And he's got the little raise the roof hands or clapping emoji or whatever. He says, time for another chapter. Excited to give all I have to the Jazz and the city of Utah.
He said he wrote that?
Yeah, this is a tweet from Mike Connolly.
Oh, geez. Wow. Okay, well... Let's give him a break. One is that, look, anytime a guy gets traded to Utah, particularly African-American guy, he's probably like, oh, damn it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, come on. But two, Mike Conley is the Grizzlies. right? Isn't he like the greatest player in Grizzlies history?
Yeah, I mean, the only number that they've ever retired, they retired Zach Randolph's number when he went to Sacramento.
They did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
They made a big deal about it because it was the first number they were going to retire. And I'm like, well, the guy hasn't even retired. What if he comes back to the Grizzlies?
That is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know if they should do the same thing for
Zebo
Marcus
now?
Sacramento.
Still?
I think so.
All right. Well, anyway, where careers go to die, Sacramento.
Yeah.
Conley, the Grizzlies were good with Conley back in the day. Like they were, he's good. I love Mike Conley. I've always professed that he's one of the more underrated, unsung guys in the league. Along with, I did this yesterday. We were talking about Al Horford.
Yeah.
I think Horford and Conley are two of the most overlooked, sensational players in this league. Mike Conley's really good.
Yeah.
And he is going to make Utah a lot better because, well, one, nobody, like I still don't know what to make of Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what has happened with that? Who is that? What is going on?
I don't know, but I like the ponytail. I really like the greasy ponytail.
Every once in a while, he's like a guy that like hits 3 home runs in a game, and you're like, oh, my God, that guy's amazing.
Yeah.
And then other times you look at him and go, God, he's terrible. Like, he was totally overrated. So they're moving on from him.
Yep.
So I assume he'll be gone. And Conley will open things up greatly, I think, for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, you have Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and Rudy Gobert. And Conley is one of the best defenders on the perimeter, too.
Yes.
So now you have a team that already has the best rim protector in the league. And
yes,
now you've
got,
I mean, when you say Mike Conley is Memphis, he's that grindhouse mentality. He was kind of the leader of that ship.
And a great leader, too. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that word. You know, we were talking about this on the show yesterday about, you know, self-awareness and just emotional intelligence, all those things that Damian Lillard has that we've come to really appreciate because you've got weirdos and like guys who don't get it, like Chris Paul or
Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler.
Mike Conley falls into that Damian Lillard category of leadership. Great guy. Everybody in the league loves him. Just not a lot of dysfunction with him. He's going to fit. I think he fits with Utah perfectly and alongside Donovan Mitchell perfectly. So the question becomes, now what do you make of Utah in the West? As we're not done yet in the West, obviously.
Yeah.
We're just getting started, but you know, they and the Blazers were pretty close last year. Are they now better than Portland?
So they won 50 games without Mike Conley. I mean, that the Grizzlies were really good at the height of what they were. They never made it to a championship, but they won a lot of basketball games, and Mike Conley was a huge part of that. So I think he brings in the leadership quality, but kind of also a been there, done that mentality to what this Utah team has. Is because the last couple of years they've gotten close, but even though he hasn't taken over the edge, I think he's going to give them a lot more drive than Rudy Gobert does. I just see it more intensity with him. So yeah, I think it does make them better.
Well, don't you think he makes Donovan Mitchell better? Just like playing alongside a guy like that,
for sure.
Veteran like that, and then not only that, but just like opening up the floor for Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, absolutely.
The only concern is his injuries have increased quite a bit the last few years as he's gotten a little bit older.
How old is he? How old's Conley? 31 looks like.
Yeah.
Almost 32.
As he's gotten a little bit older, he started to get more nagging injuries. I'm just looking at a little list of injuries here, and the last 2 years have been peppered with soreness this soreness, hamstring, knee, ankle, thigh, all sorts of stuff. So as long as he can stay healthy,
what a wuss.
It's great.
He's played in 56 playoff games, too.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that they haven't done a whole lot in Memphis, although I think they did. Didn't that team get to the West Finals once?
I think so.
But he's played in a lot of playoff games. Good move.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Teams around the Blazers making moves for their guy. Again, it's not a, you know, like a super duper blockbuster, but that is a really good move for Utah. And they're sitting there going, well, hey, why not us?
Sure.
You know, they're taking their swinge. Warriors taking a step back, and they're like, man, now's the time. So let's go. So let's see what the Blazers do now.
I still think that's the biggest,
which is probably
the
nothing.
Biggest question marks are still going to be on the other side of Utah. It's the Los Angeles Lakers and what their roster ends up looking like.
Yes.
And what the Warriors look like, too. Because, I mean,
Clippers.
Well, the Clippers have room for max players, and there's been interest from Kawhi Leonard. But I think that's adding to the pieces that they already have. But I think if you look at the Warriors, the thing that's so intriguing is they've already got the pieces. They're going to re-sign Klay Thompson. I don't think there's any question about that. And if Durant is going to take that player option, and if there's any chance that if he came back just for the playoffs, how devastating would that
be? Durant?
Yeah.
Is he going to be? I don't think he'd be available then, would he?
I don't know why he wouldn't.
Thompson could.
Thompson, it's 6 to 9 months, and they're saying around a year for Kevin Durant.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so
I didn't know that. I just assumed he'd be out.
But Boogie Cousins had the same injury, and I don't know what the exact date was that he got back. But, you know, with medical science, it's possible to get back sooner. So you just don't know what's going to happen with them. So I think those are the bigger question marks, and I think it could make, you know, anything Utah does a little bit irrelevant. But I think this is a big move because, you're just changing the face of your franchise and bringing in a guy that is as good as anybody on your team right now and the guy that can be the leader of the ship.
The West is fascinating because the Lakers just got Anthony Davis, so they've got a lot of building out to do, but they've got their core of those two bros.
The Rockets?
So then you go, I would say you go Lakers, Clippers if they get Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Changes everything.
Yep.
But we'll wait and see about that. So there's probably your top two, again, depending on how the Lakers build it out. And there's been some reports today about some anonymous GMs or front office personnel in the NBA saying that they have no faith that the Lakers will be able to build this out. I disagree with that because I think LeBron's going to be in charge of it. And LeBron, anytime you got that guy, you got a chance. He's just got to get guys that buy into what he does. And so I feel like the Lakers and the Clippers, if they get Kawhi Leonard, would be the top two. Then, like you say, the Warriors very much in flux, but they're not going away.
No.
As long as they have Curry and Green, and there was talk today that they were looking at who were they looking at? A couple of low price guys. One was Reggie Bullock, adding him, which would be interesting because he could shoot. And there was another guy that was mentioned alongside. Oh, it was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And that's would be an interesting little play for Golden State if they can make that work. So they're in the conversation. Then so is Houston because they're not losing Harden.
Yeah.
And then you've got Utah just upgraded. The Blazers were the team that's in the Western not named Warriors. It was in the Western Conference Finals. And
Nurkic back.
So. And you get Nurkic. And by the way, the Nuggets are sitting there too. And Oklahoma City, I think the way they bowed out of the playoffs and look like the dysfunction that they have, maybe nobody's really thinking about them, but when you have Paul George and Russell Westbrook, they almost won. I mean, didn't they win 50 games? I mean, they didn't. They won. I'm looking at it here. They won 49.
Okay.
So it is just this happens every year where it just flips on its head. You just never know. And Utah has added themselves into the conversation with this move. By the way, if you're wondering, the Grizzlies dealt Conley to Utah, and the Grizzlies get back Grayson Allen, who sucks.
Yes.
Kyle Korver, who's old. Jay Crowder.
Korver's going to end up in Los Angeles, right, with the Lakers?
I don't know. Yeah, they'll probably just boot him,
buy him out
or whatever.
He'll end up out there.
Jay Crowder goes, and Jay Crowder is interesting because I like him. Jay Crowder, everywhere he's gone, he's been good. Mm-hmm. But he continually gets traded. Like, I think he's been traded like 7 times. He's an interesting player. So Utah does take a little bit of a hit there, but they get the point guard that they want.
And he's got fantastic hair, which is fun.
Crowder? Yeah. Crowder's a good player. I like Crowder. And then they also get the first round pick, the number 23 pick this year, which, I don't know.
Yeah.
Neil Olshey called this draft the worst draft in 20 years. And the Blazers didn't bring in anybody who rated better than 24.
Yeah.
So the Blazers aren't expecting much at 25, and so should Memphis at 23? I don't know, but it's still a first-round pick.
Yep.
And they got another first-round pick that is protected for next year. So Memphis, I mean, they got...
They're trying to get younger. Yeah, I don't expect Korver or even Jay Crowder to be playing there this year. They're not going to be.
Yeah,
they're not going to be any good.
Seems like a lot of the opinions out there are saying that Memphis got fleeced in this trade. Just from what I've been reading online, people think
they
got
way lose
too.
Conley,
I was going to say I don't know how you could say they got fleeced because they're switching gears. They're going to Ja Morant. He's going to be the number two pick. He's the point guard. They're going to give him the ball, so they don't really need Conley. Conley's a very expensive guy.
Yep.
But he only has 2 years left on his deal. So you got a couple of picks. I mean, I don't – look, Korver and Allen, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen with Crowder. I think he's a nice player, but fleeced
– Yeah, you're not going to try to build around him. They're just trading salaries because the salaries have to match, so you need to take some guys on to do that.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends on what that second first-round pick becomes.
Memphis will not be in the NBA Finals next year.
No.
I'll tell you that right now.
Probably not.
All right.
Unless Ja Morant is the next LeBron.
We need to talk Little League Baseball.
Wouldn't that be cool if John Morant were the next LeBron?
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah?
He's a little smaller.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean. Like, can the just next carries, like, it's yeah. 1-on-5. Like, Memphis doesn't need any other players.
We'll see. We will see. But we that need to talk a it. Very crazy,
yes.
Little League baseball parents gone out of control. We'll bring you that story next, but first, Mike, with your Sports Interrupt.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
55305 is a better you today text line. Before we get into Little League mayhem, wanted to get some of your thoughts on the Mike Connolly trade to the Utah Jazz. Somebody corrected me and said that they're pretty sure it's Salt Lake City, not the city of Utah. I'm aware of that. Mike Connolly did not quite know that.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that you're the one that said that.
It's funny because Donovan Mitchell actually got on a fan for that. Somebody was talking trash to Donovan Mitchell on Twitter. And so he jumps back and it's, you know, the guy's like, imagine. And he goes, imagine not knowing that Utah isn't a city. And then Mike Connolly moves into town and goes, great to be in the city of Utah.
Whoops.
Yeah, it happened.
Somebody texted, they said, I'd forgotten about this. We were going through the West, and, you know, it's already begun to be shaken up a bit. And I'd forgotten about Dallas with Porzingis and Doncic. That's interesting because I don't know what their cap situation is, but Mark Cuban is always aggressive. And so you kind of forget about them because they were, I mean, God, aren't they picking? Where are they picking in the draft? They're a top 10 pick, aren't they?
Let me check.
They should be. You just kind of forget about them because they weren't in the mix last year in the playoffs, but they're going to get healthy, and that's a couple great pieces to build around. You got San Antonio, too. I don't know how many people have faith in them, but, you know, anytime you got Pop, they've got some good players. And then somebody texted and said, you know, on the Clippers, you know, how are they a top-two team by just adding Kawhi? Well, because they would add Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi's that good. They were already good. I mean, that team was really tough last year. Eighth seed, right? I think the Clips. And then if you add Kawhi, I think they also have room for another max player.
I believe
so.
They have
it wouldn't
two, yeah.
just be Kawhi. If you add Kawhi, all of a sudden you've got more guys wanting to come play there, like say Jimmy Butler or whomever.
Yeah.
So the Clippers, if they add Kawhi instantly, better. But you have to think, I mean, instantly one of the top two in the West. I mean, but you'd have to think that they would also move around their roster a little bit. I mean, it's not going to be just the Clippers now and then add Kawhi. It's going to be other pieces too. So he is that good. And then the other
real quick, just text. To answer your question, Dallas does not have a first round pick. Atlanta has their pick at 10.
Oh, did
so
they trade
Atlanta
it?
Has 8 and 10. So Trey Young, Luka Doncic
trade
from last year. So they have one pick at 37 in the second round.
Yep. Okay, so they've got Porzingis and Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd need to look up their cap space, but I wonder if they'll be able to sign anybody, add guys around them. So don't forget about them. But again, you know, we'll wait and see how this all shakes out. As for Memphis, somebody texted and said, hey, well, they've now shed both the Gasol and Conley contracts. They have taken on expiring ones, which means they will have money to spend. And don't forget that they're going to suck this year and they're going to have another top five pick next year.
Yep.
This is how it's done. John Morant, by all accounts, is a cornerstone player. You take him and you hope that that's true, right? So they'll get him number two tomorrow. And then you get another pick next year. You also have Jaren Jackson there. And then you have money to spend down the road to fill in the pieces. So that's kind of the goal of shedding big salary like that. It looks like maybe they got fleeced, as Mike was saying, on paper, but they really didn't. They're flipping the script on their franchise,
exactly.
completely turning it over, and that's how it's done. And I think they did a pretty good job of it. Not that any of those three players are going to be that they got in the trade are going to be, you know, a piece of what they do, but Jay Crowder could be.
Yeah, but you just wonder for how long. They don't want to win next year. The worse they are, the better their draft picks. So, and, you know, they're not going to try to roll out the best lineup they can. They're going to try to get experience for their young guys.
Yeah.
They're going to build around Grayson Allen. Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's do be honest about that.
One more thing.
He sucks.
One more thing from the text line that you missed. Didn't Ricky Rubio with the slicked back hair look like one of the bad guys from Bad Boys 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Ricky Rubio's look, and I want him to be good. I do, because we were sold that when he was coming over, it was like, oh, this guy's going to be amazing. He's
the
good.
Greatest passer ever.
Yeah, but I don't know. if you need a point guard right now, are you excited if you land on Ricky Rubio? Probably not.
No.
Because Chris Paul could be had. Kyrie Irving could be had. Conley just got dealt.
Yeah. Well, the point guard position is much more of a scoring position than it used to be. And Ricky Rubio came in kind of at the end of the pass first point guard.
Yeah.
Right? When we still love
that.
A guy that can get the ball to everybody on the court. It's like, no, you score your points and then we'll worry about getting the ball to everybody else.
Yeah. Go Grizzlies. I like what they've got going on over there. So we'll see how they do. But we'll check back with them in 5 years. How about that? Yeah. Or maybe 4 years.
Yeah. Well, and in the meantime.
Kind of like the Suns.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's a funny thing. It's the very bottom of the West is really bad. But you have like Devin Booker who will come out and score 60 in a game. And you go, ooh, when they get some pieces around him. But
well, the scary thing is, it's like, it's not scary. But it's like when you look at the bottom teams, you can't count them. You can count them out next year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Phoenix is building.
Yeah.
Memphis is building. These teams are they're sitting down there for a reason because they're like I said, flipping the script on their franchise. The teams that are interesting, or I say probably less interesting, are the teams that are kind of in the middle. You know, like what's Minnesota?
San Antonio.
San Antonio is kind of, but again, with Popovich, they're probably just going to ride that out and see what he can cook up for them. I think the Kings, like, what are the Kings doing? I guess
they're young, though. De'Aaron Fox is kind of their future.
Maybe I think they think they're close to popping.
Yeah.
Minnesota, what are they doing? I'm not really sure what they've got going on.
Well, but you have Dallas, you have Phoenix,
Pelicans.
You have Memphis. Well, the Pelicans are going to have Zion Williamson tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So, but out of those teams, only one or two, there's four or five teams that sit at the bottom, and they're all trying to cook up the same recipe where you go, all right, we're going to get a superstar, we're going to build around Devin Booker. If we get the right pieces, boom, sky's the limit, right?
That's
we're just
going
to shoot up past all these teams in the middle. But only a couple of those teams are. And the other ones are going to stay bad or they'll rise up to the middle. But it's kind of a race. If the entire Western Conference in 7 years was flipped completely upside down, the middle teams are still in the middle. But all of these young teams, the ones that pop, it could change things around. But the difficult thing with the NBA is if you have a five-year plan and your superstar's contract is up in 4 years, did you do enough to keep them around? And that's been the Portland's, you know, gripe for such a long time going, oh, is Neil O'Shea and Terry Stotts doing enough to keep Damian Lillard happy and keep him in the city and have him commit to the team, where we're seeing a lot of other, you know, organizations that are losing their stars because they lose interest.
Yeah, but those bad teams, like, it's all about the draft. It's all, if Zion Williamson is what everybody thinks Zion Williamson is going to be, then watch out for the Pelicans. I mean, that changes everything. If Ja Morant is that guy, I think the one team, I was looking at the East. So we basically went through every team in the West and you kind of have an idea of what they're trying to do, right?
Yep.
The one thing about, then I was looking at the East and there's some teams that's like, I don't know what Washington's going to do. They're kind of in the middle right now. We'll see. Atlanta has certainly flipped the script on theirs and they're trying to come back up with picks. The one team, actually there are two teams over there that it's like, what the hell are they doing? And it's the Knicks and the Cavs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what. They're not in the middle. They're not at the, certainly not at the top. They're at the bottom, and it looks like they're just going to stay there, you know, because the Knicks just, I don't know. There's all.
We have Colin Sexton in Cleveland. And he's
the Knicks actually have a couple of decent younger players that they've kind of drafted, but.
Well, but what
does
that mean?
It does feel weird.
Like, doesn't every team at least have a couple of decent young players?
Like,
you should have it. I would hope that you would have that. And R.J. Barrett, you know, there's some thought that R.J. Barrett, who is, because the Knicks pick third tomorrow, R.J. Barrett may be a guy who's not, who is sensationally skilled, but is not necessarily a cornerstone piece between the years type guy. Maybe a little lazy, maybe one of those types of guys. So you're going to get Carmelo Anthony all over again. But every day we read about the stupid Knicks, right? Like, there's always a rumor or a headline about the dumb Knicks. And it's like, get that crap out of my headlines, because I know they're just going to screw it up.
But nobody was able to see the potential in Giannis Antetokounmpo until 15. You didn't see Kristaps Porzingis becoming the superstar or the potential superstar in the unicorn position that he plays. So we miss on guys all the time.
There's
somebody in this draft. If it's the worst draft in 20 years, we're going to be very wrong about that draft, because maybe it's just not clear who the best player is.
Maybe he's going to be at 25.
All right, we'll get back into the NBA in the 5 o'clock hour, but we do need to talk about Little League baseball.
Let's talk about it.
And we'll do that next right here on Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Sounds like we're getting an update on the David Ortiz shooting.
Papi!
Big Papi!
Yeah, they've released the motive, and they are saying, this is the Dominican officials, are saying that they believe that it was a case of mistaken identity.
And what did they come back with on all of the people that are dying in the Dominican Republic when they go and stay at resorts?
Unrelated, nothing to see here.
Also a case of mistaken identity.
Mistaken identity.
Travel here. We love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
we don't kill our baseball superstars.
We're not dying.
Yeah, it's great. David Ortiz, that we can talk about that. I know we're going to get to the youth sports brawl, the melee, as it were.
It certainly is.
It's a big one. So we can talk about David Ortiz, but I don't buy that for one second.
No.
The mistaken idea. Like, I never buy... Sounds terrible. But sometimes you get outside of our... You know, you get to some other countries where things are done a little bit differently. And particularly when... You know, the mobsters and the big drug guys. And, you know, there's a lot of people with big swinging you-know-whats in some of these countries that have a lot of power and a lot of money. And it's not necessarily the authorities. And so I have a hard time believing that somebody didn't get to the Dominican authorities here and try to kind of cover all this up.
Yeah.
They were trying to kill David Ortiz. But, but the authorities saying that it's mistaken identity... I don't know. It just feels like somebody got to the coppers, you know?
Yeah. It's
a little money changed hands or something. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know if that's true. That's totally speculative. I'm just saying it's like, sometimes I don't believe these stories. I was just reading a story in The Atlantic, really good read, about Malaysian Airlines. Was it MH370, I think, the one that went missing and they still have never found.
Oh, yeah, that's on my list of things to read. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Great read. It's a really good read. The Atlantic did about as comprehensive a look at what they have found, because that was many years ago now. Mm-hmm. And this is not the one, the Malaysian Airlines plane that was shot down, which there was a story about that today. This is the one that went missing.
Over the Indian Ocean.
And they never found it, yes, and they don't know what happened. Read it. It's by The Atlantic. It's very good. It's a long read, but it's very comprehensive into what they found. And basically, the bottom line is they feel that the Malaysian authorities know what happened.
And just won't. Yeah.
Well, they just, it's this thing we're talking about. They're corrupt. They've always been corrupt. Everybody knows they're corrupt. And there's just shenanigans. And so they won't say, you know, but they've pieced it together well enough to, I think they know what happened. But the Malaysian Airlines officials definitely know. They just won't say.
Yeah, and it's very hard to imagine a scenario where David Ortiz, one of the most famous Dominican people ever.
Right?
You know?
Yeah,
you mistook him for who?
Yeah, right.
You may have killed somebody else, mistook, and thinking he was David Ortiz, but you didn't. It doesn't happen the other way around, right?
Yeah, it's like,
the guy with the big entourage.
I was supposed to kill this Joe Blow over here. I killed the most famous, most popular, richest guy in the whole country that everybody loves.
Whoops.
Oh, darn it. I didn't kill him, but I shot him.
Police in Lakewood, Colorado have asked the public for help in identifying a man who was involved in a brawl on the field of a youth baseball game Saturday. Police spokesman John Romero told media that the game between seven-year-olds, mm-hmm. from Lakewood and Bear Creek got out of control after parents and coaches got into a dispute over a call by a 13-year-old umpire.
That ump's too young to be out there. That's you know what?
You blame
yeah, that damn ump.
Whoever put the 13-year-old in charge of umpiring the 7-year-old's baseball game.
I don't know
is
anything about Lakewood, Colorado, do you?
No.
It's just north of Littleton, just west of Denver. I know some of the suburbs out there. I've got some buddies from there, but Lakewood, I'm not familiar with. But anyway, if you haven't seen the video, you need to watch the video of this. That line you just read really doesn't do it justice. They're looking for
it's one guy. Yep.
But dude, there were haymakers being thrown by a lot of people, mm-hmm. including women in this. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like this is one of those where, I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's like, who does this? Who are these people? This is one where it looks, because it's usually like okay, there's two dumbasses fighting, and then everybody else is trying to break it up, and the ladies are screaming, and it's like, what is going on? This one looks like everybody's all in. It looks like there's like 20 people out there, and they're all fighting.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. This is 7-year-old kids.
Yeah. 7-year-olds.
Seven. And the umpire was 13, which, by the way, reminds me of a story which I've told before here, but I was a scorekeeper in high school.
Okay.
So I wasn't 13. I was a little north of 13, but I was probably 15 or 16 or something like that. I was a scorekeeper for like softball games. You know, they'd pay you like 20 bucks and you'd keep the score.
Get all the candy you can eat from the concession stand.
And I'd go out there, and I remember being out there once, and if the umpire, and I was ready to keep my score and for the teams, and if the umpire didn't show up, you had to umpire. And so the umpire didn't show up for one, and so I was out there, and I did my best. I knew the game. I was like, oh, I think I can do this. Whatever. It's just softball, right?
Yep.
And I made there was a pop-up that hit fair in front of the third base. The third baseman dove for it. It hit fair, hit him, and ricocheted foul, and I called it a fair ball. This guy lost it. Lost it. I had to kick him. I mean, I'm just a kid. Yeah. I had to kick him out of the game. I'm just like I was stunned too, by the way. And I remember this feeling vividly. Like, I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? This guy's crazy. Was it the right call? You know, you're just a kid.
Sure, yeah.
But I was stunned at how few people kind of came to my defense. Like, like a lot of his teammates were like, yeah, man, get, you know, it's like, dude, I'm just a kid umpire.
Yeah.
Like, what? This is a rec league softball game, you freaking idiots.
I had this once too, again, as a kid umpire doing little league baseball. I messed up a call at second base. It was a tag play, not a force play, and I messed it up, and I called him out when he was safe, and the coach on the opposing team came like sprinting out of the dugout, not all the way to me, and then just started angrily pointing and screaming at me, and I'm what, like 11, 12, 13 years old? I can't remember exactly what it was.
Poor little Mikey.
And the actual ump, because there was always one adult ump and the rest were all, you know, kids. He came up to me, goes, you know, you messed that up, right? I went, yeah. He goes, okay, as long as you know. And that was it. But it was just this weird experience of getting screamed at as a teenager for messing up a call in Little League.
Yeah, and you're like, I think even in your little teenager mind, because I know I was, I'm like, wait, what is the matter with this person?
Yeah.
Like, why this is a soft, like you have more perspective than he does on it, and you're 13.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Like, these guys can't. They can't help themselves. So I don't know who these people are. Let's talk more about it next. But I don't know who these people are that do this or that are capable of this. But I hate to say this. I was thinking about this today after watching that. I think there are more people that are capable of getting in a fight at a youth sporting event than we're comfortable with admitting.
Yeah. Is there any scenario where you could be drawn into a fight at a 7-year-old's baseball game?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm kind of
curious really
about.
Don't think so, because I don't have that. I think these people are quick triggered. I think I think these are people that it's not about you, the perspective of being at a youth game. They know it's not right to be fighting at a 7-year-old baseball game. These are people that can't, that, and we've seen, you know, these types of people. We all live around these types of people who just literally
are looking for a fight.
Well, no, they viscerally react. Like, they can't, they can't in the moment switch that off. They just fly off the handle. There's a lot of people like that. They can't control it, and that's not by any means an excuse. People have got to be better, but that's the guy that I see here, is that guy who just like the guy in Mike's softball game and my softball game. They can't see the forest through the trees until they calm down.
Yeah, according to the Denver Post, there are several reports of injuries, one serious injury, and they're looking for information on this melee, but in particular, they're trying to identify one suspect in a white shirt and teal shorts who threw a sucker punch.
They
slow down in the video.
How
that
can
I saw.
They not identify this guy? Like, they know know the teams, they know the kids, they know, like,
it's, there's got to be a roster somewhere and then a roster.
Well, all the adults know who the other, right?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I think that's weird that they can't. They're trying to identify him. Nobody knows who that guy is. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well.
Somebody texted in and said that they arrested him, but I haven't seen that story yet.
No, I haven't seen the update. I'm looking on ESPN. But there you go. So, yeah, if you haven't seen the video, find it, watch it, and then be embarrassed to be a human.
But let me ask a question. What percent of adults? I want the listener feedback on this.
55305, better you today, text line.
Because I may be out to lunch, but because I think it's insane that anybody is capable of this. Like you just asked, is there any scenario that would pull you? I would say no. No, there isn't, yeah. Because I think I have a good enough perspective to say, look,
Well, what if the umpire was 14?
Short of you, like, holding a knife to my kid's throat. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Nothing, just the reasons these things happen are just always so trivial and stupid.
Yeah.
What percent of adults would allow a bad call to escalate to fisticuffs at a youth sporting event? What percent?
Yeah.
I want to know what people think that number is, because I want to say that it's probably small, but it may not be.
Well, let's get your number next. All right, send them in. 55305, what do you think the percentage of people that would get into a fight at a 7-year-old's baseball game is? And we'll talk about that and more in hour two right here on Primetime. This is 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.